Hello everyone and welcome. It is Christmas season. So good to have you with us. And today I'm going to be sharing a message about the season of giving. Check this out. But amen, are you ready to get into the Word this morning? Yeah. Today. I said, are you ready to get into the Word today? Yeah. Come on, it's good to be in church on a Sunday. It's good to be in church every Sunday. But here we are, first Sunday in December. Anyone else feel like there's a lot going on this time of year? There's a lot. I'm walking with a bit of a limp this morning. It's got nothing to do with my gangster aspirations. Like Pastor Brett's got great gangster aspirations, incredible rapping skills. I feel like we should make room for you in our Christmas spectacular. Just a sample. Look out. That might turn people off from coming. No, I'm kidding. That's brilliant. Wonderful. You did a wonderful job. Commendations. No, we had our staff Christmas party on Friday. We had a lot of fun, but we played a lot of sports and games, and I'm just happy to tell you all this morning that I won some of the things, not all of them, but I won enough to feel good about myself. But it's more sport than I probably played all year. And so literally all down this side of my body, I've pulled up a little sore, you could say. You could say that. But so I'm paying the price for that. But we had a wonderful time celebrating with our staff on Friday. The week before, we had our volunteer Christmas party. If you're a volunteer, you were probably at that. So we had a great time celebrating in the park. So we had that celebration going on. The day after that, I celebrated my third Thanksgiving ever. My American mother-in-law was in town, and so we cooked a turkey and we had all these different American dishes, and so we celebrated that. And so I don't know if you ever feel like this time of year, there's just party after party after party, celebration after celebration. We eat way too much. We spend way too much on gifts. We hang out together so much. And then if you're part of those workplaces, you do Kris Kringles or Secret Santas. And then the dilemma that comes with that, do you stay within the price limit or do you go beyond? And then the politics that happen when you go beyond but no one else does, you're like, there's so many decisions to be made. And then on top of all of that, for some reason, people are actually born in the month of December as well, which means there are birthday parties to attend on top of all the other parties. People like my wife, her birthday this week, Pastor Steve Hounslow, his birthday this week, my brother, his birthday in a couple of weeks. What the heck? Choose a different month. There's so many parties to be a part of this time of year. And add into all of that, of course, hello somebody, the shopping. I did some Christmas shopping yesterday. Oh my gosh. I don't know if you've ever been to the mall at Christmas time. I mean, the battle starts in the car park. Now, praise God, yesterday I was on my motorbike, so I just pulled up wherever I wanted, parked the thing, walk inside. It was a breeze. But the other week, I was in the mall. Not good. Like, it starts with when you drive into the Westfields now, they've got those lighting systems and you can see which rows have empty car parks in them or not. They never work. You get like the phantom green lights that go on and you pull up. There's a car in the spot. Thank you very much, Westfield. I feel like you would make me less angry if you just removed the lights. And so you worked up already and you're driving round and round and round. And then a few weeks ago, this happened to me. I was pulling up. I could see someone got in their car and I'm like, yes, perfect timing. And I pull up and I put my indicator on and I'm just sitting there waiting. And someone pulls up from the other direction on the other aisle, just sits there and waits. I watch them pull up. I watch them put their indicator on after me. But then this joker in the car looks up and sees them first and then turns around and sees me second and thinks I've come along last. And so being the hero that he was, he decides to pull out in a way that would block me, gives a little wave to the other guy, brings him in, looks at me, shakes his head, drives off feeling like he just saved the day. And I'm sitting there going, thank you. Christmas spirit. It's a beautiful time to be alive. You're welcome. I'm the parking lot martyr. But the battle, it starts in the parking lot. I mean, if that doesn't work you up, then you go inside the malls. It's insane. You got grown women throwing punches at each other, wrestling over the last item in the store. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And then, you know, there's a bit of an unwritten rule about walking in society. Now here in Australia, we drive on the left-hand side of the road. And so in general, we walk on the left-hand side of the shopping mall. Now when you go to America, it's not so much of a head switch for me to drive on the other side of the road now, but then walking, when you're passing people on escalators or passing people on the wall, they all walk on the right-hand side. But you know, if you understand that, not a problem. Christmas time though, people lose their mind. It's like, who cares? I'm gonna walk wherever I want. You got people crisscrossing, you got people bashing into you. Sometimes I feel like some women just have children so they can use their pram as a battering ram to get through them all. I look at them, I think, I was gonna give way to you anyway. You didn't need to take my legs out. You're on the ground and then you're the one that has to apologize. I'm sorry. Sorry for being alive. People go crazy. You know, some of the worst people in the malls are the old people. You know that age that they get to where they're too old to tell off anymore. I can't wait to get to that age. The things you can get away with. But it's crazy. Things go crazy this time of year. The parties that we're having to have, the malls that we're having to navigate, people's tensions are high, the credit cards are being swiped, all these things are going on. And in the midst of all of it, it's pretty easy to forget the whole reason we're doing this, isn't it? I'm obviously just having a bit of fun, but it's so easy at this time of year to get so caught up in the busyness of what's happening and the expense of what's happening and the engagements that we've got to attend and the pressures of the season. It can be easy to forget the whole reason that we celebrate, the reason we do this, the reason we give, the reason we celebrate, the reason we take time out, the reason we gather together. Of course, we know the reason is Jesus. He's the reason for the season. I was watching a sermon yesterday, an old sermon by Billy Graham, and this is going back decades. And you know, when they first started calling Christmas Xmas, call it what you want, I don't care. But the problem is when you remove Christ out of Christmas, you remove the reason for the season. However you want to write it, I don't think the writing is the problem. I think when we lose Jesus out of the season, that's the problem. And in the busyness of it all and in the pressure and the stress of what's going on in life at the moment, it's not just Jesus being the reason for the season, but surely He should be the center of it. Surely He should be the focus of it. Surely He should be the one that is elevated through it all. He's the one that puts the Christ in Christmas. Now, I know we know this, of course, but it can be easy to forget it sometimes, can't it? What is the reason is Jesus, when we celebrate Jesus being born into the world. Christmas is the celebration of His birth. If you've ever seen the nativity scene, if you've ever known the Christmas story, that's what we're celebrating. But why is it so important? It's because it was the moment when God decided to confine Himself in human form, humble Himself into the body of a baby boy, be born into a place of really the lowest of low importance. Stats would say that we're going to spend somewhere in the vicinity of $16 or $17 billion as a nation this year. We're going to be flying all over the country, all over the world, buying gifts, celebrating, buying way too many gifts, eating way too much food, and it's going to be a glorious celebration. I don't know about you, I'm planning a nice celebration. Jesus' life was a lot less glamorous though. His birth was a lot more low-key. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, this is how His life is described. Talked about Jesus, it says, He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. You see, what was so significant about the birth of Jesus that we've now been celebrating it for 2,000 years? What was it about the birth of that baby boy that made it something worth remembering for all of these years? The Bible says it like this in Philippians chapter 2 about the mission and the accomplishment of Jesus' life. It says this in verse 5 of Philippians 2. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, and God He was, absolutely. He did not think of equality with God as something to hang on to cling to. Instead, He gave up. Somebody say, gave up. Come on, like you're with me this morning. Somebody say, gave up.
Gave up.
So He gave up. What did He give up? He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the power of Jesus' life. That is the power of what he was getting ready to accomplish when he was born all those years ago in Bethlehem. He was born as 100% God in a body that was 100% human. He bridged the divide between humanity and divinity. He forever reconciled relationship between humans and their creator. He has the name that is above all other names. That's what God declares there in the book of Philippians. Because of the way he lived his life, because of the way he gave his life, and then because of the resurrection of his life, he now has the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every sickness is defeated, all of sin is covered, all of humanity now gets to live in relationship with God. That's what he did. That's what he did. Because of how he gave. I mean, that's really what Christmas is about. It's about the greatest gift of all. God gave up his own son. Jesus gave up his privileges. For Jesus, for God to be confined into the body of this baby, to live a humble life. A life like Isaiah describes, where he was despised and rejected. Christmas is about celebrating Jesus. The real reason for this season, I mean, Jesus is the greatest gift humanity has ever received. And that's why Christmas is really a season of giving. So we celebrate the greatest gift. So what can we do with this gift, you might ask? Jesus gave up everything for us, so that we now have an opportunity. I mean, really, we have this opportunity every day, but Christmas is a time when almost the whole world comes to a stop. We get an opportunity ourselves to give. What might that look like? I want to take you to the book of Acts chapter 3 to show you a great picture of this. It says this in Acts 3 verse 1. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What a great miracle. What an incredible story this is. But what might this have to do with Christmas, you may ask? It's a great question. In this story, there's so many things to be seen in it. I mean, right at the start of this story, we see he was a man who sat at the gate to the temple. Because of the laws of religion in that day, because he was lame, because of his life, he wasn't allowed inside. So religion stopped this man from coming into the courts of God. Religion kept this man outside, and the Bible tells us that he was seated next to the gate they called the Beautiful Gate. Now, it might have been beautiful to people, it might have been beautiful in appearance, but I doubt it was very beautiful to him. This was a place where he was sat every day begging. This would have been the location that reminded him of his lack. This would have been the place that reminded him of how much he didn't have. I wonder for some of you in this room today, I wonder if Christmas is that place for you. Sometimes Christmas can be that reminder for some of us of all of the things we don't have, of all of the people we don't have, of full, or the resource we don't have, or all the relationships we wish we had. Sometimes Christmas can be a source of pain for some of us. But he was this man who sat at this gate day after day begging. And Peter and John, if you know them, they were disciples of Jesus. They were walking in one day past this gate. And this man, as he was doing to everyone, he was begging. He said, yeah, you know, can you give me some silver and gold? And I love this. It says in verse 4, it says that Peter and John looked straight at him. I don't know if you've ever been walking along the streets before. And you see someone that's in need. You see someone maybe that's begging. See someone that has less than you. You see someone that's in a worse off situation than you. If you know that you don't have what they really need, it can be so easy to look at them, but knowing you can't fulfill their needs, you just keep walking. And sometimes in all of our lives, it can be easy to look past the need. But I love this. The Bible tells us that Peter and John looked at the need, looked at this man, and looked straight at him. And I find this remarkable. They had to tell the man, look at me. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who's begging, you've ever talked to someone that's homeless, talked to someone that's down and out. So often they'll talk to you like this. They won't make eye contact with you. It's this place of shame that they live in. It's this place of lack that they live in. But Peter and John, they looked at this man and said, look at us. Look at us. Now, I dare say if Peter and John had silver or gold, they probably would have given that to him as well. But even though they didn't have the silver and gold that this man desired, even though they didn't have the money that he wanted, they knew they had the answer that he needed, even if he didn't know it. And Peter replied to him, he said, silver and gold, I don't have that. But what I do have, I give to you now in the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he grabbed him by the right hand, pulled him to his feet, said, get up and walk. Lame, you're not going to be any longer. No, no, no. God hasn't designed you to be like that. There was a healing worked in that moment. There was a miracle worked in that moment. And it wasn't worked through silver and gold. It was worked through the power and the presence of Jesus Christ, the one whose name is above all names, the one who is the reason for this season we're in right now. It's his power, it's his love, it's his miracle.
I hope you're enjoying the message so far. What a season of giving that Christmas is. The truth is, we all have something to give when we have Jesus in our hearts.
And this is crazy, right? I got plenty of friends who have children. I just got to stand with one of my great friends dedicating their young daughter, Holly. I've seen many of my friends have these children and see them start to walk, and they walk and fall and walk and fall. And then, you know, one day they finally start walking and running. And this man, the Bible tells us, was lame from birth. He'd never gone through that. He wasn't a young man running around, had an accident and then was lame. No, he'd never learned to walk. But so great was this miracle that happened in this moment. The Bible says that his feet and ankles were strengthened in a second. And as he stood up, all of a sudden he began leaping and jumping and running and praising God. There ain't a person in the world that could do that all on the same day. But here was this man, how so great was the miracle through the power of God outworked through Peter and John, that in one moment, in one day, not only was he healed, but all of a sudden he could run and leap and praise God like he'd been doing it his whole life. And all of a sudden, he went from being a person that was stuck in a position of receiving. He couldn't do anything. This was a guy who could do nothing but beg, receive, receive, receive his entire life. All of a sudden, this miracle put him in a position where he could go and live a life, get a job, and all of a sudden be someone that would give to other people. I've been in positions in life before where I haven't had anything of resource to give to people. But we've always got something of love that we can give to people. And this man finally was put in a position where instead of receiving his whole life, Bible tells us it's more blessed to give than receive. All of a sudden, he was put in a place where he could be a giver. See, it's all started with Peter and John being able to give him something. I don't know particularly where you may find yourself in Christmas at the moment. I don't know what this season feels like to you, because there's a lot of pressure sometimes. I know that I'm looking at myself. I got to fly myself and my wife back to Adelaide. We've got to buy gifts for our whole family. We've got to celebrate over there. We've got to buy gifts for family overseas. We had an engagement party yesterday, Natasha and Josh. It was wonderful to be there. That was one of the most unique engagement parties I've ever been to. Let's call it that. It was wonderful. I loved it. But there's parties and there's celebrations and there's gifts to buy and there's food to eat. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. And there's food to buy and there's places to be and there can be pressure on at this time of year. I don't know where you may find yourself, but I do know this, that when I have Jesus in my life, I always have something to give. I always have something that I can bless someone with. We are always in a position where we can give something. Now, the truth is, there are people out those doors that maybe have more money in their bank accounts than all of us put together, and they can buy a bigger gift for someone than we could ever buy. But the truth is, we have a gift that money can't buy. We have a gift you can't put a price tag on. And we have a gift that truly can change someone's eternity, not just their right now, but the rest of their entire future. And that is the gift of the love of Jesus. That is the power of Jesus. That is relationship with Jesus. That's what we get to carry. That's the gift that we get to bring. Peter and John didn't have silver or gold, but what they did have, they had Jesus. They had something that they could give in that moment. And in this season, I love Christmas. I love getting to celebrate. I love getting to hang out. I love getting to gather. I love getting to buy gifts for people. The older I get, the more I can afford different gifts, the more enjoyable it is. I love it. But more than just being the reason behind this season we're in, surely Jesus should be the highest focus. He should be the center of it all. Because the gift that won't just change a life, but will change eternity, is something we get to give people. And it comes from being in His presence. You know, just a few things that have happened just this week in the life of our church. We prayed for someone who had arthritis in his foot, got completely healed on the spot, and yesterday ran 5 kilometers without pain. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. Come on. I've never had arthritis. If I could run 5 kilometers without pain, I'd be very happy. Maybe I should get prayer after the service. Lord, bless me with fitness. But this guy here, he had arthritis in his foot. Boom, ran 5Ks, no pain. That's a miracle. We were praying with someone the other day. They had a long-term back injury, completely healed in Urban Life last week. Pastor Esther was just sharing it, but I mean, I could tell the story of people all over this room who've been believing to have children and haven't been able to have them, some of them for as long as 10 years, right now pregnant, because the power of God touched them. Bible tells us that He is the author of life, and He's in the middle of writing a story that is a miracle from the start. It's going to be a miracle all the way to the finish. Pastor Esther was on the screen last week sharing her testimony. But she got diagnosed with a tumor in her face. The doctors were talking to her about how they were going to have to remove this tumor. It showed up on the scans. They did the test. There was a tumor there. They were telling her, you know, you're probably going to lose your eyesight in one eye because it's all up in there. And they're having the conversation with her. There's all these specialists in the room. She just felt the peace of God there. She prayed as she went in. And they scanned her another time. And then they all started looking at each other and scanning and doing all the stuff they do. They looked at each other, they looked at her, they looked at the scans, they looked at each other, they looked at her, and they said, we don't know what's happened, but there's no tumor here anymore. See, this is the gift that we get to pass on to people. It's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. But isn't that the miracle? We could never have saved ourselves. We could never have healed ourselves. We could never have reconciled ourselves with God, but because God gave. Now we have an opportunity to pass on that giving. You know, there's a story that many of us would know from our childhood. I remember reading this story and hearing this story. I've seen this story acted out. It's written by an author. His name's Charles Dickens. A story he wrote called A Christmas Carol. And it tells the story of a man named Ebenezer Scrooge. The story goes like this. Ebenezer Scrooge was a cold-hearted, tight-fisted and greedy man. He despised Christmas. In fact, he despised all things which bring people happiness. While he was preparing to go to bed one Christmas Eve, the story goes, he's visited by the ghost of his old Christmas partner. It's a story. His old business partner had died 7 years earlier on Christmas Eve, and he too had spent his entire life greedy and exploiting people. He was now bound in eternity with the chains of his greed. But he warns Scrooge that he will face an even worse fate if he doesn't change his ways. That night, while he sleeps in his dreams, he's visited by three ghosts. The story goes, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. The first one, the ghost of Christmas past, shows Scrooge visions of his own past that take place around the Christmas season, reminding him of how he ended up the greedy man that he is now. See, he'd spent much of his childhood neglected by his father over the holidays and at boarding school until he was finally brought home by his loving sister. She, though, quite sadly, she died prematurely, giving birth to his nephew, Fred. Scrooge later became a successful businessman and moneylender and became engaged to a woman. Her name was Belle, but she later left him and called the engagement off when he began to grow obsessed with accumulating his own wealth. Scrooge is then in his dream visited by the ghost of Christmas present, who shows him the whole of London celebrating Christmas, including his nephew Fred and his employee Cratchit and Cratchit's impoverished family. While Scrooge expresses concern for Cratchit's sickly son, Tiny Tim, the story calls him, the spirit informs him that the boy will die unless Scrooge changes his way and pays him properly. Then finally, the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows Scrooge Christmas Day 1 year later. Tiny Tim has died, leaving the entire Cratchit family in mourning. Scrooge himself has also died, but no one mourns him. Scrooge weeps over his own grave, begging for the spirit for a chance to change his ways before awakening to find it is Christmas morning and it was all a dream. He immediately, though, repents, the story goes, and becomes a model of generosity and kindness. What I find remarkable about this story, the fictional story that it is that this whole story starts with someone who finds Christmas incredibly difficult. Scrooge is someone that got hurt over and over in his past, and due to this hurt in his past, Christmas for him isn't a season of giving, it isn't a season of joy, it's a reminder of a painful past. And for some of us here today, that's what Christmas can be. It can be a reminder of what we don't have or a reminder of a painful past. For some of us, that's what it can be. For all of us, the real meaning of Christmas can be drowned out by the demands and busyness of this season. The time of expense and trouble where it really should be a time of joy and giving. You know, the Bible says, it may be the most famous verse of all, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. That was God's response to His love. For God so loved you. For God so loved the person next to you. For God so loved your family. For God so loved me. For God so loved even the person that maybe has done you wrong. For God so loved the world that He gave. What did He give? He gave His one and only Son. He gave His very best. So that whoever believes in Him, Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then it says in verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's why God sent Jesus on that very first Christmas 2,000 odd years ago. That was the reason Jesus was born in human form. That's the reason that we celebrate, is that God sent Jesus into the world that we all may have an opportunity to encounter Him, to be reconciled with Him, to be healed by Him, to be set free by Him. The real reason of Christmas is celebrating the greatest gift of all. And the real opportunity we have at Christmas is to pass on that great gift, that gift of love, that gift of generosity.
that gift of freedom, that gift of healing. I wonder if we could all stand to our feet this afternoon. You know, Peter and John had something to give that nameless beggar who was locked out of the church by his inability. They had something to give because they'd been in the presence of God. And the miracle that took place outside the church enabled this guy to come into the church. Now, of course, in our day and age, we don't lock anyone out of the church. But where religion had kept him out, a relationship with Jesus brought him in. If you know that story, what happens is all of a sudden everyone else starts celebrating. Everyone within the church starts partying. Everything in the church went up because of the miracle that took place outside the church. And today, as we walk out of these doors, I want to stir you. Christmas is a season of giving. And even silver and gold we may not have, but love, healing, forgiveness, freedom, breakthrough, we get to carry all of those things. I want to stir you as you're going throughout your different functions and parties and shopping expeditions and meals together and flights that are to be taken. Maybe there's a miracle that God wants to work through you. Maybe there's a healing that God wants to work through you. Maybe there's a gift that God wants to give through you.
Thank you for joining us today. I pray that this season is truly the best season of your year. Christmas season, it's a season of giving. And no matter what's going on in your life, I pray that God would so bless you and so fill you that you would be a gift to other people, a gift of love, of healing, of blessing, and of freedom. And I truly pray for you as well that in this Christmas season, there would be great reconciliation, there would be great joy, and there would be the presence of God filling every part of your life. Thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you come and join us on all the social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Come and check us out online, planetshakers.com. We love you. See you real soon.